Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back, and we have an amazing discussion today with Dr. Bob Teal, academic and leader in the Continuing Church of God, ccog.org, who will be doing a show on the network as well. I don't know if you've got your time firmed up for what days or times you're going to do your show, Dr. Bob, but it's going to be important for people to get this information. The Church of God, of course, with Herbert W. Armstrong, was one of my wife's mother's favorite shows, because they always sought truth, and they include a prophecy, which is important. Most of the modern churches get prophecy wrong. I know you and your church get it pretty well right, and that's why I have you on the program, to get people getting prepared for what's coming. And today we have some major events to talk about. We have the 7-minute video link that you did a few days ago about the Sanhedrin setting up the burnt offering to dedicate the altar. We've got a discussion to deal with the European cooperation at the time of the Gentiles, and we're talking about the times of the Gentiles in general, and then is China paving the road to Armageddon? So we have a lot to cover today. And then, of course, the last issue is maybe we get into is when does the Great Tribulation start? 2019, 2020, 2021, and a couple of signs that we can watch that Jesus said are in prophecy there. You know, sometimes clear, sometimes not so clear, but we're really close, aren't we?
We're definitely getting closer.
Yeah.
As I said last week, the Sanhedrin has wanted to do daily sacrifices for quite some time. And so what they ended up doing, as just to refresh people's memory, as well as what actually happened, they actually invited people from 70 nations to come and watch the consecration of a new altar for the Third Temple.
Right.
What's kind of strange about this is they didn't use the old rocks. See, what they did before, the Temple Institute, about 10, 11 years ago, maybe 10. Anyway, they put together an altar with rocks. They call them unhewn stones, because in Deuteronomy it says you're not supposed to iron striking these stones. So they put this together, and the impression I got when I was over at the Temple Institute back 5 years ago was they sort of had this thing ready in a pickup truck so they can bring it wherever they need to do, whenever they can, to do whatever sacrifices they want to do. But what's bizarre is that now they decided to use something else. They came up with a way, and they've decided with their tradition that this is going to be acceptable. And it's kind of a fabricated, they're kind of like fabricated rocks. Okay? They're not normal stones. But they're light enough that they can transport this thing at a moment's notice. So anyway, so they went and they did this. And they did this on Monday. And on Monday, they invited 70 nations to come. And actually, just somebody from the government of Guatemala showed up. So the other nations didn't come. But anyway, so they've put together this altar. And they want to dedicate it for the Third Temple. But also they want to dedicate it, they wanted to reenact what were called daily sacrifices. Now, the Jews have not had daily sacrifices since 70 AD, which is when the temple was destroyed. And so they haven't been doing it. And as I've mentioned before, and for any listeners who haven't heard this, realize people who've not accepted Jesus as the Messiah, if they're Jews, and they read the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, which we call the Old Testament, it's pretty clear they're supposed to be doing sacrifices. Okay, if you don't
right.
accept that Jesus' blood did away with sins, and we don't need the blood of bulls and goats, etc., well, if you're Jewish and you don't accept Jesus as Messiah, since the Messiah hasn't come yet, then obviously you need to be doing these. And so they've had academic debates, if you will, for over 1,000 years in Judaism. You know, how are you supposed to handle this? And they came up with a rationalization, well, they don't have to do it because they don't have a temple. But that's also not accurate either. In the book of Ezra, and I read this last week, and I want to read it again today, because some people get confused. They think, oh, you can't do the sacrifices without a temple, or you don't need to do the sacrifices if you don't have a temple. But in Ezra chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I'll just read this.
Right.
From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord or the Eternal.
Right.
But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So this is after the destruction of the second temple, and prior to the construction of the third temple, they were doing sacrifices. Now, Jewish scholars who read this and believe it literally say, wait a second, we're supposed to be doing them now. So the Sanhedrin, which is kind of a fringe sect, if I could use that, within Judaism, they, most Jews don't accept that they're legitimate, but they are kind of a minority party, if you will, over politically as well as spiritually over there. And they're associated with the Temple Institute. One of the people who founded the Temple Institute is on the Sanhedrin and vice versa. Well, anyway, they went out and they named a high priest, and they had the high priest actually be involved in the ceremony as well as with some other priests. They've been training the priests for a few years to be sure they could do this. So anyway, they wanted to reenact the daily sacrifices. Well, they got governmental permission from everybody except from the municipality of Jerusalem for everything they wanted to do. And the municipality of Jerusalem said they were not allowed to actually sacrifice an animal on the temple, on the altar. So what they did is they sacrificed an animal somewhere outside of the municipality limits of Jerusalem, and they brought the meat over there, and they then burnt it, so it became a burnt offering. So they did a burnt offering on that particular altar this past Monday, December 10th. And you mentioned that we did a short YouTube video about it, and I sent you a link, and you can put the link up if you wish. And
oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. It's important to understand this. And again, it ties in with our starting to understand the abomination of desolation and what
right.
that
now,
means and how it's tied to all this stuff.
Yeah, so it ties into a lot of things. Anyway, the name of the video is called Sanhedrin Makes Burnt Offering to Dedicate Altar. Okay, really original, because this is that's exactly what happened, and that happened on Monday. It's only 7 minutes. I think it's 6 minutes, 57.
It happened on Monday this week, right?
Yes, it happened this Monday. Yes, this past
Which is December 10th, so that's a significant day.
Yes, that was the date was picked because that was to do with the last day of Hanukkah, which had to do with the rededication of the Second Temple. And so they wanted to do this. They felt ceremonially and whatever that would make it better.
I think is the last day of Hanukkah.
It was the last day of Hanukkah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Hanukkah ended at sunset on Monday. Anyway. So they've done this. Now, the reason this is of major significance is people who are familiar with the Scriptures know in three places in the book of Daniel, the Bible says that the sacrifices are going to cease. In Daniel 9:27, Daniel 11:31, and Daniel 12, verse 11. And in order for them to cease, they have to be started. And in order for them to be started, somebody's got to be interested in doing them.
Right.
And not only are some people in theory interested in doing them, the people associated with the Temple Institute, as well as the Sanhedrin, have gone through what they believe are the proper steps. Now, I think they've kind of compromised on this particular altar, and I have said for years that they may compromise on a red heifer, they might compromise on a few other things, if they can get actual permission to go ahead and do it. I'm sure they can rationalize it, but they could rationalize how they just made this altar. I think they may be able to...
Yeah, and the altar isn't a real stone. It's, It looks like stone, but it's actually
they just find a bunch of stones and stick them all together.
It's like a plastic stones or whatever that make it look like an altar, but it's actually not heavy, so you can throw it in the back of a truck and
it's not as heavy,
put the salt
on. They're kind of aerated, is what they are. But
they're aerated stones, in other words. Yeah,
aerated concrete. Okay.
Ah, okay.
All right. So
made it look like an altar, right?
That's right, and you can burn things on it. But I don't believe it's truly consistent with what the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy. But I'm not Jewish. I believe that Jesus was sacrificed. We don't need to sacrifice animals anymore. So I really have nothing to do with what they think they need to be doing. Other than the fact that I think they will violate their rules to get what they want, and I think they just demonstrated it. And I hear your bumper music going. So
right. Hey, you can hear, in other words, we're going to get on the other side of this, because I think one thing about the Jewish rabbis, they'll keep twist and turn over decades or centuries to make sure they get their own way, don't they?
Well, so it looks like they want to do it in this case.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Discern these things, and we see through a glass, not exactly clearly, but clear enough. We're starting to see things start to form together there. Whoa, this is really happening, isn't it?
yes, as like, we were saying before, if we were going into the break, they actually did do this burn offering to dedicate an altar, and I think they compromised because, again, the altar was constructed aerated concrete, which I don't defined as unhewn stones, but they've decided. But they did have a rabbi by the name of Baruch Kahani serve as the high priest, and so they're starting to go through the motions, and they definitely want to do this, and so they're ready whenever they're allowed to do it. But prophetically, this is what we were saying just before we're going on the air. We know that the sacrifices are going to be stopped, and you were alluded to this before. When are they stopped, or who stops them? On Daniel 9:27, let me actually go back. Daniel 9:26, it talks about a prince of the people who's going to come, and that those people are going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the people who destroyed Jerusalem and the sanctuary were the Romans. The Roman army contained Italians, Romans, but it also contained a lot of people from Europe. It was kind of a mercenary army to a degree by that stage. Anyway, so the Bible says that a prince is going to come for the people who destroyed the temple and the city, and that was destroyed by General Titus in 70 AD. So that was a Roman general. So a prince is going to be involved, and then we go to Daniel 9:27, and it talks about this prince. It says he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now Let me just stop there.
1 week, a week of years. In other words,
yeah, we'll get to the week.
Hebrew calendar, right?
Yes, but we want to first. Well, let's first go to the fact the covenant with many. Because the implication that most prophecy watchers have had, and he's going to confirm a covenant with many. Is there's probably several peoples or nations involved in some kind of a deal.
Right.
The covenant is considered by most to probably be some type of a peace deal. And although it doesn't directly imply that, I mean, state that, if you look at other scriptures about this particular leader, it talks about him coming in peaceably, and he's going to talk peace, and him confirming a peace deal would be consistent with that. Now,
right.
It says for 1 week, and you jumped on this correctly, prophecy watchers for at least 1,800 years have indicated that this 1 week is referring to 7 years. So people have not tended to think this is a literal seven-day week, particularly when you see what happens next.
Right.
It says, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifices, oblations to cease, and then he talks about the abominations, desolation, etc.
Right.
So it doesn't seem logical to most people, including me, that he confirms a covenant for a seven-day week, and after 3.5 days, he violates it. So the belief has generally been that he's talking about after 3.5 years.
Right.
And this particular leader, who's called a prince at this stage, is called the King of the North in Daniel chapter 11. And so one of the reasons this is important is I am of the opinion that while Scripture says what's going to happen, and a lot of people are looking toward this kind of a deal, because this leader is only going to be a prince who's going to confirm it, the deal possibly could be, for example, an 8-year deal that this guy doesn't confirm until it's been around for a year. Or it could be some other quirky part of something, and people are going to say, that's not the deal because the Antichrist guy didn't do it, he wasn't clear, or whatever it is they're going to say. But if you continue with this, again, he was only called a prince there when he confirms it. So this is somebody who will be more important later from a political and biblical perspective. And as I mentioned before, in chapter 11, he's called the King of the North. And he's the one, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, who's going to take away the daily sacrifice and place there the abomination that makes desolate. So we've got this leader who's going to do this particular thing. So we know that the sacrifices have to start in order for them to stop. And so the Jews went through and did this. Now, I heard one Protestant commentator, she did a video on this, and she is convinced, and I disagree with her, a lot of things that she had to say, but she's convinced that this was the abomination of desolation, the fact that the Jews did this on the 10th of December. I say that is not possible.
No.
As I just read in Daniel 11, verse 31, he's going to take away the daily sacrifice in place of the abomination makes desolate. Okay, so having the Jews actually doing a reenactment ceremony, I do not believe is the abomination. Now, she made a big deal about the fact this is an abomination to God, that Jesus' sacrifice eliminated the need for animal sacrifices. And I agree with that part.
Yeah.
Remember, even after Jesus was executed and resurrected, the Jews were still performing daily sacrifices. Okay, they did it for nearly 40 years afterwards.
Right.
Okay, so I don't believe that the...
Including the apostles were involved with it, weren't they?
Well, they went to the temple, and the things were happening there. Yeah, there was the offering that Paul did, the Nazarite offering, when he came back, and they told him, hey, you go there and, cut your hair and then do this or whatever. So I don't believe that's the abomination that makes desolate. But that being said, she's correct that, you know, there is no need for animal sacrifice for sin. Jesus came to pay the penalty for sin. So that is correct. But anyway, getting back to the whole ramifications of this, the ramifications of this from a prophetic perspective, I think, are very exciting. The excitement is, hey, people said, the book of Daniel wasn't really written when it's supposed to be written. Somebody wrote that. Today I read from somebody who said that, and I think they're wrong. I think the book of Daniel was written when the book of Daniel says it was written, roughly 600 B.C. or so. And these prophecies are starting to come to pass. I mean, how else? Is it just luck that the Bible says this, 2,600 years ago, and now we've got people going out trying to set up sacrifices that we know are going to be stopped?
Okay, exactly. Now, so what you discern is the abomination part. And then, of course, the term desolations, if you look at ancient Hebrew, it means giving territory to potential enemies. So whatever deal is going to give territory, probably the state of Israel, to someone that shouldn't receive territory.
along that line, I wasn't going to mention this, but since you brought that up, this is a good time to mention this. In Daniel chapter 11, there's a discussion in verse 27 about the king of the north and the king of the south. And these guys are going to get together. And let me just read the scripture.
Yeah. The king of the south is like a leader of all the Muslim nations.
Right, or at least the ones in the Middle East and North Africa, because those are the only nations that are listed.
Right.
I don't know that necessarily, for example...
Maybe not all of them, but most of them in the local area, from Egypt to whatever, right?
Yeah, right. And I will read what Daniel 11:27 says.
Keep that thought. We'll be right back after the break. When we come back. This is amazing stuff. I mean, it really is. And you're discerning and breaking it down very logically, which is great.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Last hour, we brought on Cody Snodgrass, who's a CIA operative, offered $500,000 to blow up the Alpha Primera building. And, of course, we correlate my testimony as the exit examiner. We've also brought on Dr. Dan Royal, who's a stem cell doctor in Las Vegas. Rob Roselli, who's a geopolitical analyst. These are all gentlemen that are going to have shows probably either an hour a week or multiple hours a day, like Calvi Smith and Josh Bernstein. We offer that to your church to actually have a time with you, anytime that's available, to do a show during the week or on the weekend for yourself or other people in your church, because I believe the Continued Church of God is the closest I've found of a Christian church that's seeking to find the truth about the end-time prophecy. And to be honest, to be in apostasy or just disarray and don't understand this puts people in physical and in spiritual danger. And I think that's why it is important to understand and discern the times and seasons. God didn't put this there just passively to kind of entertain us. He put it there to protect us, didn't he?
Well, you know, one thing, we're talking about prophecy, that people do not seem to understand. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 10, it says, worship God. And people, okay, I understand that. We should worship God. Forget this prophecy. Except the next part of the verse says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
One of the reasons that for prophecy is not the reason a lot of people think. A lot of people think the purpose of prophecy is they can figure out how to save their hide.
Right.
Jesus said, if you're trying to just go out and save yourself, that ain't going to work.
Okay. Right.
But part of the purpose of it is we're in an age now where people are doubting everything. I mean,
right.
Are there people trying to claim that, for example, Jesus did not exist?
Right.
And that there's no historical evidence for that. They're trying to say the book of Daniel wasn't written when it was. They're coming up with all kinds of stuff. They're trying to put doubt in people's mind.
Right.
This is part of Satan's plan. Is he doesn't want people to be certain about things. Well, God already knew this. Okay, so he had his plan. And Jesus said, okay, there's certain things that are going to happen. You should be looking for these things. And
right.
When you do, he says, you know, your redemption draws near. But also, and he didn't say this particular word, but it's close enough. He's basically said, you know this. You're going to see this stuff, so you know this is all true. Okay.
Right.
Okay? So he laid these things out. He wants people to pay attention, watch, pray thee be counted worthy to escape all things.
It's
from Luke 21, verse 36. What people do think, though, is, okay, they're already worthy, and all they got to know is when, and as long as they know when, somehow they'll do whatever they're supposed to do. And that's not really what Scripture says. So, well, again.
Yeah, it wants you to discern more specifically the times and seasons, so you'll escape both the physical and spiritual destruction coming, right?
Yeah, and well, actually, a lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, I don't want to do anything with the church because I've been burnt in all these organizations before and blah, 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 blah. Well, if you look at, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the world as a witness and the end will come. And he talks about seeing the abomination, desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and whoever sees this understand, and it's time to flee. Well, they don't realize that, well, how is Matthew 24:14 going to be fulfilled? Okay, people just saying, okay, God, you take care of making sure the gospel is preached to the world as a witness. I'm going to take care of myself. Well, in the Book of Revelation, they talk about different churches. Jesus has messages, seven different messages to seven different churches, and basically he says to one group, you know, you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing. I know your works. You're holding fast. You're not falling for all this other nonsense out there. And I'm going to protect you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the world. So the implication is, and this is for the Philadelphians, the implication is, okay, these are people who are fulfilling Matthew 24:14 to get the gospel out. But then the bulk of the Christians at the end time would be Laodiceans. And he says to them, I know your works. You know, you're not that bad. You're not that good either. Okay, I know I'm paraphrasing, but they've convinced themselves, look, we're pretty good. And Jesus says, well, I wish you were either cold or hot, because you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth.
Right.
Some people will say, no, as long as I'm keeping God's commandments and I have Jesus' testimony, I'm doing exactly everything God wants me to do. Well, except if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 14 to 17, you find out there's two groups of Christians. You find this is a group that's actually protected. And then you find out there's a group that's not. And what does it say about the group that's not? It says they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. And these are actual Christians. Okay? So people need to be careful about that they don't just get totally wrapped up in themselves, but instead go and support the work to try to get, God will succeed in getting Matthew 24:14 accomplished. The question is God going to do it with you or in spite of you? No. So anyway,
I also think it was a form of evangelism, because the Book of Revelation, as the Christians understand it, and it starts to happen as they've prophesied in current times, it's a point of evangelism to those who are still very suspicious, whether they're lukewarm Christians or they're not Christians at all, and they need to have something tell them what's the nature of reality, because everybody is questioning everything now. That's why people question whether or not Jesus even existed.
Right. And again, for those of us who've proven that Jesus exists, and by the way, I'll make a plug for a free book people can look on at ccog.org. We have a book I wrote called Proof Jesus is the Messiah. It's got hundreds of scriptures explaining why Jesus is the Messiah. It also has prophecies from Jesus that were confirmed outside of the New Testament, by the way, which I think also helped prove that Jesus is the Messiah. But in this age where people act like, if you believe the Bible, you know, you're not educated, and all this kind of nonsense, that's just, Luke said he wrote what he wrote so people would have certainty about what happened with Jesus. And part of the reason I wrote the book, Proof Jesus the Messiah, is so people can have certainty. And the certainty, again, includes prophecy. As I said, the Book of Revelation says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But anyway, getting back to the end times and what are going on now, so we see events lining up with end time prophecies. Now, we were going to cover a couple other subjects, and as much as I'd like to stay on the Sanhedrin one, I'd like to go try to cover a couple other ones we talked about earlier.
Yeah, let's go.
That's something that's just, how can I put this? If you watch the news, and it could be ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and I'm sure I've missed a few of them, but those kind of cover the main ones that are on television and cable. How much time have you seen any of them devote to the Chinese Silk Road One Belt, One Road initiative, or the Eurasian Union.
Right.
I don't see that every night. What I see...
We discussed this, by the way, for years on LaRouche, the second hour on Fridays, and they're all big pundits and supporters of it. And I say, look, there's some dangers here, too. And it's not always accepted well by Harley and the LaRouche Foundation to say that there's another side to this Belt and Road process.
Well, from an economic perspective, I mean, this is extremely clever. I've always felt, long felt, you know, how can you help some of these countries that are poor? What would be one thing that would really help them? And one answer that I came up with a long time ago was put roads to connect people. And, you know, that happened in the United States. You know, these highways and stuff that we have, they kind of came more or less from the Great Depression onward. We connected more parts of the United States. It increased commerce. People in one area were able to actually sell some stuff to other people and to do better. Well, China has figured out a new take on an old expression. There's an expression that used to be, and people probably still heard of this, called all roads lead to Rome.
Right.
Okay? That's because Rome built all these great roads, many of which still exist, by the way, thousands of years later. But when you got to one road, eventually it would hook to another one, eventually it would get you to Rome.
Right.
Well, China said, you know what? What if we go out and we decide that all roads go to China?
Or Beijing, right?
Or some part of, Beijing or any other part of China.
Or Shanghai, yeah.
That's right. And so they're starting to do that. And we'll talk a little bit about that and some of the prophetic ramifications when we come back.
Yeah, because that's a big part of the deal. The deal between Trump and Xi last week with the G20 is to integrate this. Now, the North American part of this Belt and Road program was just completed with the USMC treaty. It's all the 10 zones in the world in trade, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Back, and so Dr. Bob, we're getting close to some other topics we're going to cover, and you got some neat links here. Is China paving the way to Armageddon and these roads? And we've talked about this for now many months with Harley Schlanger. I'm in the agreement that this is basically the roads to Armageddon are being built by China now. And they want Belt and Road to be collaborative between many other nations, including America. And the USMC treaty that we have is basically North American portion of the Belt and Road, which is not just the roads from China, but trade connections and routes and treaties in terms of intellectual property with every nation on Earth in 10 trade zones. That are written in the Council on Foreign Relations Fall 1973 article, putting together that these 10 kings, like in the Bible, will give their power to the beast system for 1 hour. So that system is coming together even under Donald Trump, isn't it?
Well, you mentioned President Trump, and one of the things that I wrote in my book about called Donald Trump and America's Apocalypse, I talked about that there would be unintended consequences of some of his policies. And
right.
One of which what we're seeing right now is the sanctions policies are turning Russia and China closer to each other. And the Belt and Road initiative is just one part. Just a little bit of historical background. You know, nobody thought that Richard Nixon would make a deal with China because he was somewhat an anti-Chinese person. He was considered an anti-communist, anti-Chinese person. He made a deal, and supposedly the reason he made this deal to open up trade or talks with China was because the United States felt that we could keep, put a wedge between the Soviet Union and China, and China on our side, we'd never have to worry about the Soviet Union. I mean, that was kind of the rationale. And so the United States made deals with China, and in time, China ended up getting places where I don't think the United States imagined it ever could have. China's leading manufacturer of the world, probably, and it's got a lot of new equipment, by the way, which basically it gets from Germany, but it's got all these machine tools and all the rest of this stuff. And so China has been growing. Now the United States goes in and we put these sanctions against Russia as well as Iran and anybody who wants to trade with those countries. And so this is more or less, and the tariff threats against China. So this has kind of pushed Russia and China closer together. Now China's been working on this One Belt, One Road project, which essentially is supposed to be some physical roads as well as some ports to connect basically everything to get to China. Or, as I looked at it, it connects you to get over to Armageddon.
Right.
Oh, it's not 100% there, but it'll get enough so enough troops can get there. They can cross wherever they need to cross.
Well, it's in the Red Book that Mao Zedong said back in the late 40s that they would raise an army of 200,000, and he actually quotes the Bible, Revelation 9, Mao Zedong does, that it's their army crossing into Armageddon to the Valley of Jezreel. I mean, he actually stated that publicly in public life.
Which is kind of interesting because he's officially an atheist and his country is atheistic. But yeah, they said they
were... It was useful text. In other words, if you're a good communist, you use useful text, even if you're not a religionist, to support their thesis. Which, by the way, Xi does too. He's a new emperor of China.
Well, anyway, so we've had the situation now where the Chinese are building the roads and the Russians have been working on something called the Eurasian Economic Union. And Vietnam wants to be part of it. Iran wants to be part of it. And so we're starting to see some countries that were not part of the old Soviet Union become part of this. Well, anyway, there's been a lot of talk in the last year or two about the Eurasian Economic Union making some kind of deal with China with its Belt and Road project. Now, I'm going to skip over the start of the Great Tribulation for a moment and mention that after it starts, we're talking about what the Bible calls the time of the Gentiles. And in Ezekiel 7, verse 24, God says, I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they'll possess their houses. Now, Jesus talked about the time of the Gentiles in Luke 21. You can also read about the time of the Gentiles in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. And we're getting closer to that time, the time that the Eurasian nations are basically going to rise up, and the current world order is not going to stay. Now, obviously, the final time of the Gentiles, my view, corresponds with the start of the Great Tribulation. As far as the Great Tribulation goes, every year I go through and I look at predictions that people make for the Great Tribulation. And every year I try to explain when it can or cannot start and based on why. And there were people who thought it had to start because of the blood moons. There were people who thought it had to start because of Jubilee years or Shemitah years. There are people who thought it had to start because of the eclipse of last year.
Right.
This year's one was kind of interesting. And 70th anniversary of Israel, that was another one. But here's one. Now, you and I are both Sabbath keepers. So here's a prediction for 2019 Great Tribulation from something called the Sabbatical Code website, and they put a bunch of numbers together, and they're talking about what they consider God's clock to be, and basically they conclude that the Great Tribulation needs to start in 2019. Well, you and I were talking about this on air already, and that is we have to see this deal of Daniel 9:27 confirmed, and until that deal is confirmed, and that's a seven-year deal, the Great Tribulation doesn't start until 3.5 years after that deal has been confirmed. So this one was in error. I found another one who it looks like it's probably a messianic website that gave some other rationale. There's another one about Shemitah years again for rationale. These are all reasons it's supposed to start this year. So let me switch from Protestants to Catholic site. Catholic site claims that the based on possibly Jacinta Marto of Fatima fame, that the Great Tribulation is supposed to begin either June 13th or October 13th of 2019. And none of those are possible. Okay? None of those are possible because we haven't seen this deal made and confirmed. And until then, it just cannot happen.
Now, by the way, is that deal going to be confirmed while sacrifice is happening or just before or when it ends? What's the story there?
Well, certainly confirmed before they end. My suspicion is that it's after that's confirmed that the government authorities in Israel would be more inclined to allow regular sacrifices. One thing you said off air that I'll bring on air, you said that if the Jews started doing regular sacrifices over there right now, that the Muslims over in that area would revolt and not be happy with this. And the Muslims have put up with some sacrifices because the Jews have had some sacrifices around Passover and they just did this other thing. But it's most likely that the government authorities in Israel would think it's not safe enough to allow regular sacrifices until there was something like a peace deal. So now the Bible does not say that the sacrifices have to start after the deal is confirmed. We only
it can be a phase in. It can be a phase in.
Years after it's confirmed.
Yeah, it's my suspicion that my thesis is that there's going to be sacrifices as kind of a warm up. That there's a different type of sacrifice that's done where they literally sanctify the area where they're doing their altar. And it's confirmed with a phased-in treaty that gives territory to the Palestinians, so they won't revolt. At the same time, they'll leave the Dome of the Rock intact and not bring it down. Otherwise, it'll be a tremendous revolution. All the surrounding Muslim countries will go crazy. So,
I agree with you on this. This is where the Temple Institute, in my opinion, has it off. They think that they're actually going to destroy the Dome of the Rock.
No, I don't think
eventually,
so.
But at the Temple. And that would cause a massive outcry.
They don't even need a physical temple. They can have a Tabernacle of Moses, which is tent skin from sea cows, and they can have it put up overnight with lights.
That's correct. They've got this portable altar, and as I mentioned on air before, the Temple Institute already told me that they don't need a temple in order to do animal sacrifices. And Sanhedrin, in writing, told me they don't need a temple.
They just did
the reenactment without one.
If you do a timing and you cut the sacrifice off at 1,230 days, that brings it to Yom Kippur after Sukkot. And 30 days later is Pesach, when the Passover, the death angel, passes over into Israel, but also over the world. It's my feeling that 1,290 days is from Yom Kippur to what's called Yom Teruha, which means the Feast of the Long Blowing or Trumpets, which is the 2,520th day, the actual seventh year day after the sacrifice has started. So there's some mix in here that's going to explain there's going to be Hebrew feast days that are part of the time clock, I believe.
I think the Hebrew feast days are part of the time clock, and we'll see exactly how they are when we get a little closer.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's going to become more and more evident, because there has to be a deal where the Palestinians have territory so they won't protest, where the Egyptians and the Saudi Arabians and Qataris will put them on the map, where the Israelis and the Americans and so on will work out their deal financially and militarily to deal with Iran and Russia, because the Iranians are actually sending missiles into test missiles with Iran to decide that's the state of Israel. So this is going to get really intense here shortly, isn't it?
There are prophecies involving Iran that we've talked about before. Perhaps we'll talk about it again on your show.
Next week. Thank you. Amazing show.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. and listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.